Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. I've got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead because Bill Hubbard is in the building, so to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, William S. Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, also The Medical Privacy Rule, among other books that he's written and other publications that he's authored and makes available to you for your human resources edification. And he's an original member of our Brain Trust. I'm going to have to look that up here in a minute. I think we're just about up on his 10th anniversary with us. I got that. I have that information here, folks. Don't worry. I'll find it here in a minute. Anyway, he's our good friend, Bill Hubbard. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here, Jim.
How long has it been, Bill? Do you remember when it was? Would you know? See, I know. I have that information.
I'm kind of thinking February, but like you said, we're real close to that.
Here it is. February the 18th.
Okay.
Next time you're on the show, next month, we'll have our 10th anniversary. How about that?
An anniversary celebration.
You're pretty excited about that too, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Am I going to get roses? Am I going to get any flowers or anything for our anniversary, Bill?
Oh, we'll think of something here. I'll try not to forget.
Yeah, don't forget me, Bill. Hey, Bill, you know, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. Sometimes our employees want us to do a little something extra for them too, don't they?
Well, yes, they do.
They have that little habit, don't they?
They do, and oftentimes it comes in the form of employee benefits.
Yeah. Let's talk about what those could be. What are benefits? You know, a lot of times people don't really consider the full impact of benefits. I don't think they take into account all the things that are employee benefits. For example, paid vacations, paid holidays are employee benefits, aren't they?
Yes, they are. If we really add up all of the costs associated with employee benefits, typically we're looking at about 35% of compensation costs over and above the employee's direct salary. So if we're paying, for sake of discussion, $100 a week, I know that's an antiquated number, $100 a week for employee benefit, then $135 by the time we're looking at the benefit cost, kind of an issue. So it's an important element to consider. It's an important element that makes your recruiting of new employees, it makes a big difference in that whole process, and it can make a big difference in your ability to retain employees as well.
But you know, Bill, this paid day off thing, I don't want to leave that for too quick, because a lot of times, you know, it's so much a part of our society now. I think people feel that, you know, this is something that's automatic, and I think that maybe they think it's manna from heaven or something. They don't really realize somebody has to pay for that, and it comes right out of the hide of the business owner. I'm not whining about it. I'm not complaining about it. It's something we want to do, but I think it does deserve to be recognized as a benefit. And I think it would be appropriate for you to say to your boss, "Hey, boss, thanks for the paid day off."
It is important, certainly, to communicate to employees these are the benefits that we're providing, and it doesn't hurt from time to time to periodically let them know. And here's the cost or the value. Maybe that's a better way to present it.
Yeah.
Here's the value of your employee benefit package, so that the employee has a complete understanding of, yes, you get your direct salary, which is you receive every week or at the end of every month, but over and above that, here is the value of your benefits, your paid sick days, the workers' compensation costs that we have, the unemployment insurance that we have to pay, our portion of the Social Security contribution that we make, and oh, by the way, this insurance plan that you're getting and you're grumbling about because of the increased rates, we're paying even more, and here's what we have to pay in terms of our portion of that insurance plan,
right?
Whether it's health or dental or life or disability or whatever the different kind of insurance plans might be. It's important to give the employee a big picture of the value of those benefits over and above their compensation.
So now that I'm through whining about paid days off, vacation is obviously a part of it too, and that's a good thing for everybody. It's good for the employees to have time off to recharge their batteries. That's good for both sides of that transaction. But then we get over into the things that we typically see as the more classic examples, the more generally accepted examples of benefits, which is insurance and that sort of thing.
Yeah, retirement. The insurance is a key one, and particularly for the smaller employer and the entrepreneur, this is a real tough hurdle to kind of deal with, because as a small organization, it's hard to get into a group where you can get a good kind of a rate, and there's a lot more kind of creative activities that are going on in that area. But in most areas, a group health insurance plan is one of the major benefits that is offered, and typically employers pay a major portion of that. Typically, they'll pay about 80-81%. Of the cost of that for single coverage, and oftentimes an employer will pay some 70-71% for the family coverage. So there's a significant cost, and a lot of times the employers pay a big portion of that, but that's one of the things that you can work through with the person that provides insurance for you, is to decide what level of coverage to provide and then how you want to kind of break up that piece of pie in terms of how much cost are you going to pass along and how much you're going to try to absorb.
Bill, the thing that I'm recommending to people more and more, and we're doing it here in our operation, and I really like it a lot, and our employees do too, and that is encouraging employees to go the route of the HSA, health savings account. That's what we do in this operation, and we pay a certain amount a year per employee to cover, you know, at least all, if not most of the major medical, and then they start saving toward their deductible.
In the last 3 years, the frequency of the health savings accounts has grown from 12% in 2005 to 28% in 2006 to 64% of firms offering that in the last year. So, and that's kind of the buzzword for that is consumer-driven health plans. But it's a new approach where the employer offers to the employee an opportunity to set money aside for health costs and tries to encourage the employee to save some money in that process, and then offer some payroll deductions and some tax benefits that make that process go a little bit better.
So many benefits are part of that. And I want to come back. I want to talk about some of those. You mentioned tax advantages, savings, not letting the insurance company get all the money. How much, Bill, you and I would have in our accounts right now if we'd been doing this since we were 22 years old. Quick break. Right back with Bill Hubbard. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
You ask the right questions, provide great insights, and have a true passion for small business. How much do I get paid for saying all of this again?
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Bill Hubbard. We're talking about benefits, employee benefits, and the different things that you got to do, really, to be competitive in the marketplace out there. Bill Hubbard, give us your website, please.
Hubbard.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
His mama named him William, folks, but he says we can call him Bill. And it's William S. Hubbard if you're looking for his books. And but once you get to, you know, now that we're all good friends here, you can call him Bill if you run into him on the street. And that's Hubbard, 2 B's, 2 T's. And also there's another one too, isn't there?
Well, actually, there's 3 websites I have out there. The other one is medicalprivacy.info.
That's where they can find out more about the medical privacy, the HIPAA stuff.
Yeah, the HIPAA material, and there's a connection from the Hubbard to the medical privacy. And then I have a third website up that's kind of a retail site, and that one is called personnelpolicywriter.com. I know that's kind of a mouthful.
Personnelpolicywriter.com, okay.
Yes, and that one has some retail items that are like products on CD, a model employee handbook, some sample employment forms, and other guidelines and information relating to developing and writing personnel policy. So
right.
That's a key part of what I do, and oftentimes I run into people who are looking for a more affordable kind of an approach to take, and so I've got some of the books that I've done on that, and then I've created some products that that move in that direction as well. And then when they need my expert advice, I certainly am available in that direction as well.
Absolutely. So check that out, folks, and use Bill to your advantage. He's a great resource for to help you with your human resources projects and strategy. Bill, we're talking about benefits, and we were just talking about the HSAs, health savings accounts. They're so cool on so many levels, Bill, because, number one, the employees and the employer get the tax deduction.
Yes.
The money that you put into the savings part that matches your deductible each year, if you want to, this is your choice, but that money goes into your account. You manage it, and it accumulates for you, and if you don't use it, it stays your money, and you can even bequeath it to your children, to your family.
Yep.
And you're gone.
It serves a much greater benefit for the individual rather than going into some insurance premium.
You basically become... You become partners in risk with the insurance company, and you become a healthcare consumer, not just a patient, right, Bill?
Yes. Yeah. And this is
Bill. I just had a test the other day, and I negotiated the price with the hospital and with the doctor. I told them what my deal was. I said, all right, I'm going to be negotiating with you. They said, okay, and we worked out a price.
Well, that's good.
And it was anywhere from, it was over 50%. I think it was around 40% of what it would have cost the insurance company if I had had an insurance policy. A traditional insurance policy.
Sure. That's a good thought just to carry along, I think, in any kind of situation, because certainly as I deal with clients, and I'm oftentimes negotiating a rate with them in terms of what service we're going to provide and what we're going to charge, and the healthcare machine, so to speak, is so tuned into, well, the insurance is going to pay for it. You just walk in, you do what's done, and then these bills are sent off, and sometimes they seem to be astronomical. So
yeah.
Just these insights that you've identified here, I think, are very important, and the whole process with the health savings account, from the employer standpoint, it's such a growing segment of insurance coverage now, because obviously, insurance costs are becoming so high, and employers are looking for ways to control that cost. They're looking for ways to kind of manage what that cost is going to be, and this is a way that both the employee and the employer can have a positive element to that whole process.
Absolutely, and it holds the cost down for the employer, so they can come near affording this for small business owners. If you want to provide health care for your employees, look at the HSA alternative. It's a great way to do it. Bill, what's the next thing on the benefits package?
Well, in terms of the frequency of benefits or how they're shared, the Department of Labor gave us kind of a recent survey of the amount, and they're identifying that typically employee contributions for medical care premiums typically averaged $81 a month for single coverage and $312 for family coverage. So mm-hmm. That kind of gives you an idea of how, on an overall average, how firms are breaking out those costs associated with that part of the activity. The other area that the Department of Labor identifies is that typically about 71% of workers had access to medical care benefits, and about 52% participated in the employer's plan. So even with that coverage being offered, some employees are not electing not to participate because they have concerns about the cost and how it affects their family budget as well.
Or they've got it covered somewhere else.
Or perhaps under their spouse's plan.
Or they just think they're going to live forever and never be sick.
Well, we can try.
When I was 22, that's what I thought, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So these costs are significant, and it's from a management standpoint, it's good to kind of be aware of what the competitive practices are, so that as you're evaluating your costs and trying to decide how are we going to break up this piece of pie, you can do it in a way that's competitive and helps you match what other firms are doing in the area.
Bill, thanks for being here today. Good job. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Next month is our 10th anniversary. I'm already looking forward to it, Bill.
We'll send you some flowers.
There you go. I like red roses, Bill. Red roses. Thanks, Bill. See you next time.
All right.
Quick break, folks. 29 after. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.